Welcome to Threshold Stories, crossing thresholds one story at a time. I'm your host, Jeff Gora. Welcome to the 2021 information session on the Blue Ridge Parkway cycling tour. This is an end-to-end tour, not a race, from Rockfish Gap, Virginia, to the end of the parkway in Cherokee, North Carolina. The dates of our ride are May 25th through June the 2nd, and then again from June the 4th through June the 12th. The trip cost $25.95, and there is a $100 discount for each person you can bring with you on the trip. So as far as expectation settings go, the parkway is a part of our national park system, and it requires a permit to do what we're trying to do. The parkway itself has a maximum speed limit of 45 miles an hour, and it is closed to commercial traffic without a permit, so no large trucks in general. The park rangers have shared with me that about 90% of all the traffic in the parkway happens on the course of about 10% of the roads, meaning most of the time on the parkway, cyclists will have it to themselves. If there are other vehicles on there, more likely than not, they are motorcycles, not other traditional vehicles that they're used to having. Although the parkway does not have any traditional cycling lanes, it is often considered a cycling paradise because of the lack of commercial traffic and the incredible views that go on throughout the two states that it's in. So the intention with our ride is to make this an epic experience by us taking care of all the logistical and navigational issues for you. So we shuttle you to the start of the parkway in Rockfish Gap, assuming you've parked a vehicle in Cherokee, or you can fly in and shuttle yourself to Rockfish Gap. And over the course of the next 8 days and 7 nights, we're going to meander down the full length of the parkway. I want to take about 5 minutes to explain what that looks like for you as a cyclist. So you'll be in a hotel room or resort room, and you will have a gear bag that you will have packed up, and it will contain, you know, basically your suitcase, and you will hand that to us at the start of the day. Each of you will have received the previous night a paper printout of our route in case your computer files go bad, but you'll also have a link that you can download either to your phone or to your cycling computer that'll help you navigate. Because you're on one road the whole time, there really isn't much concern about anything associated with turning or getting lost, because you're on the Blue Ridge Parkway for the whole duration. However, there's going to be some points of interest throughout the day that we're going to want to make sure you can see. As far as what do you need in order to cycle the parkway, obviously you need a bike and a helmet and all the safety features. You have to comply with the parkway's rules. So during the tunnels section of the ride, you'll have to have a rear-facing light and a front-facing light. The rangers tell me that cyclists who get into trouble or get hit on the parkway are more likely to see that happen in a tunnel than anywhere else. So they mandate the front and rear burning of lights, but only during the tunnel. Throughout the day, we're going to be navigating using the mileposts on the side of the road. The parkway starts at mile zero and it goes to 469. And when you change states, when you go from Virginia to North Carolina, the numbers still continually increment upwards. So as an example, on day one is a relatively long day compared to other days, we will go 80-ish miles, and I will try to make sure everybody has refreshments either every 90 minutes or 20 miles, whichever comes first. So you might expect to see something on your list / instructions from the previous night that says this: expect to stop at mile 20 for water, Gatorade, and power bar products, since they're our sponsor. At mile 38, we'll stop for lunch. At mile 60, there'll be another stop for salty foods and hydration. When you finish the high climb at the start of mile 78, there's going to be a brown paper bag at the parking area, and it'll contain water bottles and some gels for you if you'd like it, or an apple or something that we'll have in there. And then at mile 86, there's exactly one building on the left. Turn into it. That's Peaks of Otter Lodge. As you turn in, there'll be some guide signs for you to share with you where to go. When you arrive there, we typically try to get everybody to arrive no later than 2 p.m. That gives us adequate time to make sure you can change, get some nap time in, clean up, and be rested before the next day starts. We gather as a group typically no earlier than 4 p.m., but no later than 6 p.m., and Alex and I spend some time discussing with you the next day's routing, the concerns, high points, low points, climbs, dangerous curves, what have you. And we're going to, at that time, give you the links to download all the routes to your bike computer or your phone, as well as give you your paper copies and give you some expectations about what time we'll need you to wake up in the morning. A typical morning starts at around sunrise, which for us should be something like 6:15 to 6:30. And we're going to try to get you a breakfast as soon as we reasonably can and get you on the road early. We like to be cycling by about 7 a.m. We want to give you about 7 hours of cycling, if possible, to reach the destination. So on some days, that means you can go as slow as 8 miles an hour. Some days as slow as 10 miles an hour. But we want to make it so that it's easy for everybody to reach their destination. It's not a race. So if people arrive early and want to spend more time hanging out, going for a walk, whatever they like to do, they sure can do that. But there's no awards for getting there fastest, and there's no reprimand for coming in last. It's a cycling tour with the intention for you getting to see the wildlife throughout the ride. We'll have a couple of moments when we're going to have to detour you around per park regulation. The parkway is closed in a couple of sections for construction almost at any given moment because it's a high elevation ride and it's built upon a non-traditional bedrock of the side of a mountain. It's normal in any given year for sections to be closed. In 2021, we're going to have three sections we're going to have to work around. We'll have a section near Floyd, Virginia we're going to have to work around, and two sections when we get near Asheville that we're going to have to work around, but we'll be shuttling you around those in the van so you won't have to cycle them. Throughout the course of the trip, we're going to send you an email each evening summarizing the next day's activities that you'll have access to on your phone. We're going to want to make sure you have a local copy on your phone, so if you are in a spot where you need some guidance and you do not happen to have cell coverage, you'll be able to open that email up and see what you're supposed to do. Throughout the day, we'll be communicating with everybody via a group text message, and individual communications will go out through individual messaging, so there'll be no ambiguity about who's got what. The expectation is you'll have a phone on you, and you'll check it when you get to a rest stop. Doesn't necessarily mean you'll have coverage every time, but we were expecting you to check it when you get to the rest stop if there's any information we need to give you, anything about weather, road condition changes, locations that may have changed, through things we can't control for where we're going to have lunch, et cetera. I have an entire COVID protocol that I've routed through USA Triathlon. I send it to them electronically. If anybody would like to see that, I'm more than willing to send it to you. It is currently March of 2021, and the trends are good towards reduced exposure and reduced number of people who are testing positive. So there's reason to be hopeful. Okay, I'm finished that section. Let me jump to the individual days. So day one, we're going to ride about 80 miles or so, plus or minus, and we're going to stay at Peaks of Otter Lodge. Peaks of Otter Lodge is pretty epic. It's been in the parkway system for quite some time. We'll be probably have a lakefront view for everybody to look out and see the lake in the late afternoon and early morning. It's a beautiful walk for those of you who want to walk it on the outside after you arrive, assuming you have some energy left in you. Day two, we'll be ending in Floyd, Virginia. Floyd is a sort of nouveau hippie-ish town, except the music style isn't necessarily hippie-ish. It's a lot of bluegrass. But we'll probably go out that evening for dinner and walk around the town some, since it's a pretty fun place. Day three is our longest day. We end in Sparta, North Carolina. It's probably our most sparse hotel choice for the entire trip, and that day we typically bring in food for everybody, so we'll eat it on the back porch at the hotel. Day four is a short day compared to any other days. It's only 60 miles, and again, you have 7 hours to do it, but we end that day at the Chitola Lodge and Resort, which is a Bob Timberlake facility. It's gorgeous. It's a kind of place that people would fly in from around the world to go to. And we're going to spend 2 days there. So the first day will be just like all the other days, but the second day there is the on-your-own day, meaning we don't have really any accommodations for anybody's food, what they plan on doing during the day. Everybody's kind of on their own. That said, we're going to arrange shuttle services for people who would like to get dropped off in either the town of Blowing Rock or the town of Boone to explore. Day five is, like I said, a day off. Day six, we're going to ride from Blowing Rock to Little Switzerland. This is the shortest day of our trip. It's only about 45 miles, and our expectation is we'll leave after breakfast and arrive before lunch. But it's also got the best views on the entire trip of all the places we stay at. There's fire pits, swimming pools. I don't know if there was a hot tub or not. I don't remember seeing one. They have massage services as well, ice cream. The view, though, from the equivalent of their lawn down onto the lower hills at sunset is one of those once-in-a-lifetime sorts of experiences that you don't want to miss out on. The next day, we were the epic event on day six is the traverse of the main high point section of the actual parkway, where we have a chance to turn off for those who are interested and go to the top of Mount Mitchell. Mount Mitchell's the highest point east of the Mississippi. It's an arduous climb. It's an up and down climb. And we'll let individuals decide if they want to do that. Once they finish that climb, it's a downhill grade all the way into Asheville, something like 15 miles. There's a little bit of rolling stuff in the middle, but not very much. Asheville will seem a bit odd for us after we've been cycling because it's a real city. And when we arrive in Asheville, you're going to completely be disconnected from the parkway. So instead of seeing deer every few hours and raccoon on the road and lots of hawks and things like that flying, you're going to get lots of noise and traffic and things like that. We're staying at a Renaissance Hotel in downtown Asheville, not far off the parkway at all, so we don't have to pedal much on the heavily traversed roads. The following day is our last day. That day, instead of starting on your bicycle, we're going to be putting our bicycles in the van, and we're going to be shuttling around a longer detour that's going to get us outside of Asheville, and we'll do about 60 miles on that last day with several challenging climbs. Most of the day will be spent above 5,000 feet, and we'll arrive in Cherokee at around lunchtime. We'll be taking everybody either to the airport from there if they flew in or shuttling them to wherever their cars are so they can continue on their journey. For those of you who have more questions, you're going to see some links on the screen to ask us questions. The location for all this information that I just shared with you is thresholdacademy.com. And you can click on the 2021 tours there and you can see all about our tours. Due to the nature of the Blue Ridge Parkway and availability, this is probably the only tour that we can leave open almost until the very end. We don't have a cutoff date from when we can't take people. But so even though the first event is on May 25th, we can probably still take people up until about May 15th to have that trip happen. Look forward to hearing from everybody and book your trip soon because we only have 10 seats per trip and there's already people booked on both trips. Thanks. Thanks for listening to this chapter of Threshold Stories, Crossing Thresholds, one story at a time. Ready to cross more thresholds with me in 2 weeks. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me directly. You can find me on LinkedIn or on my Facebook page at Jeff Gora Team USA.